number two, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game on this Thursday, live at the Omni Nashville Hotel. We're just outside Kitchen Notes. We're in the main lobby. And it is coming up tonight, game number four of the Stanley Cup Final between the Edmonton Oilers and the Florida Panthers. And we say hello to our man Greg Wyshynski, senior NHL writer for ESPN, presented by Old National Bank. Get old. He is live in Sunrise, Florida. Greg, what's up?
What's up is that it's been a long 2 days for a lot of thirsty writers here in Fort Lauderdale as we prepared to go from game three to game four of the series. But we're, you know what? Couple upper body injuries, but I think we'll be all right for tonight.
Yeah, I know how it goes on these trips when all the NHL media gets together. I've been right in the middle of that, and yes, sometimes you're going to have upper body injuries come out of those gatherings.
That is yeah, but you know what? It's good though. Like I feel like these extra days kind of reset the series a little bit. Obviously, like what happened in Game Three was pretty palpable in favor of the Panthers, and I think the Oilers have kind of put in the time the last couple of days to try to get their heads straight. You know, they had an optional skate yesterday here at the practice facility, and I don't think there was anything optional about it. McDavid skated, Draisaitl skated. It looks like they had, you know, 18 guys out there with them. So I think they've done what they can to try to flush what happened in Game 3 out of their minds as best as possible and give us a clean slate for Game 4.
So when I was watching that in Game 3, my question to myself was, is Florida a team you can afford to have a mulligan against? Because that's what it was for Edmonton. And last year I would have told you no. This year I'm leaning no. But I'm curious to see what the bounce back looks like for Edmonton, because that was a pretty bad showing, and Florida's a team you just can't do that against.
It's true, and so I think the interesting thing for me about tonight is how many of the things that are sort of trending away from the Oilers continue. Because here's the thing, like we were all talking about the brutality and the physicality and the penalty minutes and everything else, but you know, Stuart Skinner was bad in Game 3. And McDavid and Draisaitl didn't have a point in Game 3, and Draisaitl didn't have a shot attempt in Game 3. And their depth is getting outplayed in a pretty severe way right now by Florida. So there's a lot of things that are kind of like trending away from Edmonton in this series that maybe got obscured by all the water squirt and fireworks of Game 3. And I'm curious to see if some of those can turn around in Game 4, because if they don't, then this is going to be a quick series.
If Florida ends up winning this series, is the narrative for Edmonton going to be they got this great team, you know, they got obviously elite forwards, they got some pretty good defensemen, but they don't have goaltending, and you have to have goaltending to win the Stanley Cup, even though we have seen examples in recent years where you really don't? But is that going to be the narrative if they can't pull this off? Because Florida obviously has it with Bob.
I think so, and I would be shocked if that isn't the first place that they try to address in the offseason if things don't go right for them in this series. I think they'll also talk about how critical the loss of Zach Hyman was, their top-line winger.
Yeah.
Their coach Chris Knobloch was talking about it yesterday. By not having him in the lineup, it severely impacts their ability to put McDavid and Draisaitl together in that nuclear option. You know what I mean? It's like the depth of this team is taking a hit at the wrong time. But here's the other part of it, boys, that like we can't forget about. Like this might just be Bills Chiefs. You know, like
yeah.
Like they're just going up against a team that seems built to beat them. You know, they're not intimidated by McDavid and Draisaitl. They continue to play hard every game. They bring it physically. They can hang offensively with Edmonton. They defend well. Like they're just kind of a perfect playoff organism right now, and maybe it wouldn't be a time to kind of overreact outside of fixing the goaltending if you're Edmonton, because you're just playing a team that seems to have your number if it keeps going the way that it's going.
Greg, I love it when stats collide with each other. You talk about when a best of seven Stanley Cup final started 1-1, the winner of Game 3 holds a record 23-7, about 70% of that. But the Oilers have won their past three series when trailing 2-1. So I like when they come together, these stats all come together, numbers come together. Needless to say, tonight is such a crucial game on both sides if they want to win the Stanley Cup, and I'm talking about the Oilers.
Yeah, and not only that, but like apparently Stuart Skinner's numbers in Game 4 are ridiculous for the Oilers, which is something I didn't know until my friends at Edmonton told me about it. So, I mean, there's a lot of reasons to believe that they can bounce back tonight. and you know, they've shown resiliency before in the playoffs. They lost the first two games to Los Angeles in the first round and rallied to win that series. So they've shown they can maybe take a punch, but we'll see what happens. I would say on the other side of the equation, the Panthers have struggled sometimes in putting opponents away. Like, they let the Hurricanes off the canvas. They let the Maple Leafs off the canvas. So it'll be interesting to see if maybe they've developed a little bit more of a killer instinct in this situation.
Let me ask you about continuity. I think the NBA does a terrible job of the finals, because they'll play a day and they'll take 4 days off. What if NHL, the Stanley Cup final, did that? Because I think hockey players and I think hockey fans, Greg, like that momentum. A day off, play a game, a day off, play a game. I know you got a travel day. But what would happen if the NHL adopted what the NBA is doing, which is terrible?
Well, first, I think my wife would have you killed. She would hire an assassin, and you would be dead. You would no longer be breathing. I mean, this finals had some games built into it, like, or days off built into it. Like I said, like, we were off Tuesday and Wednesday this week, you know, which is a decent gap. It's a kind of a weirdly scheduled final in the sense that we only have one day to get back to Edmonton for game five on Saturday, which is, you'd figure there'd be a couple more extra days built in travel. As I don't know, I think when it comes to this time of the year, the bigger question schedule wise for the NHL is, should we really be playing a sport on a sheet of ice in the middle of June? And it's a debate that we have every year. You know, would there be more attention on this series, on these playoffs, if we started them earlier, started the season earlier, and weren't competing with, you know, theme parks and vacations and beaches,
right,
and things,
right,
of that nature? Because your mind's not on hockey. It's just how it is. And so that's really the scheduling debate versus anything else, is like, should we even be playing at this point in the month?
Greg Wyshynski is here with us. Earlier in the show, we kind of did an exercise. Joe read a list of the worst contracts in sports, and one of them for hockey was Seth Jones' 8-year deal that he had signed. And I said, you know, it looked bad at the time. I think Chicago was a bad fit. Now I look at him with Florida, and granted, it's only been half a season, and we're, you know, now seeing a Stanley Cup final, but I think that might be the best fit for him. Could you see that changing, and him actually, that contract actually being decent for him in a Paul Maurice system?
Yeah, although I'll caveat it. So since he's been here, he's been great, and I think he's been probably their best defenseman in the playoffs so far. He's paired with a guy named Nico Mikkola. He's like a 6-foot something or other Finnish guy. They call him the Condor because of his wingspan. And they've just meshed really well together. They're just a one of those pairings that just seems to have incredible chemistry. And they've been their best defensive pairing in the playoffs. But that's because it's their second pairing. Like, they have Forsling and Ekblad on the top pairing. And I think Seth, as a second pairing defenseman, is his ideal role. He's kind of in his, like, Ryan McDonagh years, for lack of a better comparison, versus being, you know, Roman Josi, right? So the problem is that Ekblad's a free agent. And so if he leaves, I think they have no choice but to elevate Seth to the top pairing. And then you run right back into the problem that you've had, which is, this guy a one or is he a two? And I think he's a two, and we'll see what happens if he's elevated to being a one next year.
All right, Greg, everything on the table. How does it play out tonight? How do you think it plays out tonight?
Well, my feelings are apparently the feelings of most of the writers, from what I gather, which is Panthers win tonight, Edmonton extends it on Saturday, and then this thing wraps up in six, which is my prediction before the series. You know, it's a weird night. It could be one where Edmonton just comes out with so much fight that it becomes overwhelming, and then we're probably going seven. But I think the matchups that the Panthers are able to get at home, I mean, McDavid's numbers in this building are quite poor. I think they're going to be all right, and I think that we go back to Edmonton with a chance to see someone skate the cup, but probably not, because, as we said, that would send us home earlier than we expected.
I have a good friend I grew up with. Him and his wife are season ticket holders. They live down in Fort Lauderdale. He says people – I'm like, how is it down there? Because I'm curious, you know, all that's going on. He says people are caught up in what the Panthers are doing. I'm like, I thought that was really cool to hear him say that. Like, a lot of people are involved and concerned and like this hockey team, and more than it's like, oh, it's just a team down in Florida. Do you feel that kind of excitement down there or no?
I'll tell you – so I'm standing across from a brand new team store that they built last year. And it has got it's got a bunch of stuff that's very Floridian coded for the fans. It's got, like, you know, Hawaiian shirts with Panthers logos on them and lawn signs and stuff for your boat. And to me, this has always been indicative of how this fan base has grown. The people love this team now, and they're invested in this team. They like the personality. They like the way they play. And I think that this 3-year run to the final has done more for Florida Panthers hockey fandom than the previous, like, 3 decades did. And I covered this team back in the day where if you had a valid Florida's driver's license, you'd get a ticket for free. You just had to show them a license, and you'd get a free ticket. And to think about where they are now, where, you know, somebody said it, I think Kachuk might have said it the other day, where this might be the most popular team in South Florida. I don't think he's that far off. I mean, the amount of attention this team gets, the amount of real passionate fandom that surrounds this particular group of players is blows me away as someone who's seen the darker days of the franchise.
Speaking of, you know, watching a fan base grow, and, you know, because I can remember watching a game against the Predators going, man, they got a lot of people in there. And then I looked again and the seats were red, and that's what I was seeing, you know. And what's going to happen in Atlanta? They obviously passed a big hurdle last night with a vote on an arena and all of that, you know, just outside the city. Are they really about to get a third bite at this apple?
They absolutely are. They very much are. It's going to be them. It's going to be Houston. And the NHL is convinced that by putting the arena where they're expected to put it outside of Atlanta, that they're going to get it right this time. They think the demographics have changed dramatically in the state since the Thrashers were there. They think that I think they like the new building where it is, and they're going to take another kick at the can to see if they can get a team to work in Atlanta. I mean, I'm as skeptical as you guys are, but they are really, really bullish on it working this time.
Three times. It just blows my mind to get three times through that. Greg, before we let you go, Chase and I were talking about this. 31 years ago today was the O.J. murder, Nicole Brown and Ron Goldman.
Oh, wow.
What event in history do you wish Twitter was around for that comes to mind?
Wow, that's a really good question. Oh, man. Was Twitter around for the Janet Jackson, Justin Timberlake thing?
No. That was 2004. Okay. Yeah,
that's the first one that comes to mind. I know YouTube was, because that was one of the first big YouTube hits. Was that video?
Yeah,
where, like, you could, if you didn't tape the game, you couldn't find the footage. So then YouTube became, like, the place you'd go for it. So that would be the one for me. I think that would be the one that jumps to mind. I'm sure there's other historical, you know, like the founding of America or whatever. But, like, from a pop culture perspective, that's the one that comes to mind.
Well, can you imagine in hockey if it had been around for the Gretzky trade?
Ooh.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine in hockey if it was around for the Colorado-Detroit rivalry?
Oh, yeah. Oh.
You know what I mean? That blood feud. Like, there's a lot of hockey-centric ones that can certainly fit the bill for what you're looking for.
That is a good one. Greg, enjoy the game tonight. Hey, nurse up. Good luck. Stay away from Elliot Friedman because he's going to be a bad influence on you when it comes to post-game media stuff. But have fun, and we'll talk to you next week.
Will do, boys. Thanks.
Greg Wyshynski joining us from ESPN. And, of course, he is presented by Old National Bank. Get old. Good one there. We'll reset our question coming up next.
I got something new college football related that we usually do in December.
Oh.
We're going to do now college football, and I'm going to tell you, this is going to blow your mind.
Cannot wait for that. It's Chase and Big Joe. We're live today at the Omni Nashville Hotel, of course, proud sponsor of the Chase and Big Joe show here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.